burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Please turn in your hymnals to number 151. A mighty fortress is our God.
Become children of that kingdom that is unshakable, that is eternal. We look forward to the glorious day when Christ returns and we behold that kingdom in all its glory and splendor. And we thank you today for the opportunity as the worshiping church to be not just a signpost pointing to that kingdom, but an outpost of it. For here the children of the kingdom have gathered, and here here we praise you, here we worship you, and here we serve you. So we thank you that you are present here in the power of your Spirit to anoint our worship, to make your presence known and felt in our midst, to receive us and hear our prayers as your children. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
I want to call your attention to the announcements in the bulletin. We've got several of them that are important to key into. But the first thing I just wanted to say was thank you to all those that helped with the setup and breakdown and all the food that came in yesterday for the celebration of Chris's life, Chris Collins' life. We really appreciate all that everybody did to make that a wonderful day. And it was quite a tribute to Chris. What a wonderful guy. What a wonderful brother in Christ. So we're just so thankful that we were able to do that here and that so many people were able to come out and that the weather held off until today. So we're grateful for that as well. But just wanted to call your attention to a couple of things. There's going to be a special business meeting on July 16th, Thursday, July 16th. It won't take that long. It's going to be at 7 o'clock, and it's regarding the formation of the Pastoral Search Committee. So we need to give you 2 weeks heads up on that, and we're doing that right now. So July 16th, Thursday night, 7 p.m., we'd love to have you here. I'm not sure if that's going to be held. It's probably going to be held in the other, the big room on the other side.
Yeah,
okay. But we need a quorum of at least 15 people to be here for that. And I expect we'll have far more than that. But just wanted to make you aware of that. And volunteers are needed for junior church and nursery, so please keep that in mind, and if you're able to do that, if you like working with young kids, that's a great opportunity to do that. We have a choir for a day today, and you'll be hopefully blessed by what the choir for a day has to share with you during the offertory, and we'll be doing that as well on July 26th and probably the tail end of August as well, the last Sunday in August. But please keep those in mind. Thank you to Dave, Penny, and all who are singing and will sing. But let's see, we have Vacation Bible School coming up July 20th through the 24th. If you're able to help with that, it'd be greatly appreciated. It goes from 9 a.m. to 12 noon each day. If you're teaching, we'd like to get everybody here by about 8:30. Teaching and helping, really. So 8:30 is a good time to shoot for it to be here by. And we greatly appreciate your help with that. Helpers must have completed 7th grade or beyond in order to help. So keep that in mind if you have younger kids. And so unsaid in all that is that the Vacation Bible School goes up through kids that completed 6th grade. And there's a whole list of things that are needed, preschool craft items. You can take a look at that yourselves. There's a drama team and staff. Contact Lori Collins for phone numbers in the bulletin if you'd like to be part of that. But let's continue with worship.
Gospel reading will be from Matthew 3, 13 through 17, page 1499 in your pew. Hear the word of the Lord, the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper to use to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." May God add his blessings to the reading of his word.
Please rise for our next hymn, if you are able, and turn to number 209, "This Is the Day." We'll sing it twice.
Pass them to the aisle, and Bob will bring them forward. Asked to pray for Jason Simmons, who is at Rockland Hospital with medication problems. Pray for Nancy Andrews' daughter Anne, who is back in the hospital with a collapsed lung. Praying for total healing so that she can have the chemo she needs. And praise and thanks to all who helped with Chris's collation yesterday, from making food, setting up, and cleaning up. I love how our church works together. From Cindy McNamara. We are blessed. Let's pray together. Lord, your word says, "Be still and know that you are God." As we quiet our hearts before you, it will be to realize once again your great power, your awesome majesty, your infinite wisdom, and your perfect love that holds us through all of life's events, that does not let us stumble and fall headlong, that will not let us be separated from you, for you are a faithful God. And you've called us into your family, receiving us as your children through our faith in Christ, and binding us to one another as your family, as brothers and sisters in Christ. We praise you today for the love that has bound us together, that enables us to care for each other in times of need, to share each other's joy, to support one another through all the changes of life. We're thankful, Lord, that we can lift to you those who are in need. For Anne and for Jason. For those on our prayer list in the bulletin who still need your healing touch, we pray that each one, Jason, Anne, Kay, the others, will all be aware that you are with them. They will know that you are a present help in their times of trouble. You will come near and strengthen them and guide those who care for them medically and encourage their spirits till you have set them on their feet and sent them on their way rejoicing. We do praise you and thank you for the wonderful expressions of love and support that were shown yesterday in the collation for Chris, and for the wonderful tribute his funeral was to one of your dear children, a great servant of God in this place. Lord, his death has touched us all, but we are more grateful that his life touched us all. And we were blessed to know him, to benefit from his leadership and from his discipleship. We pray you continue to provide the grace of comfort and peace for Michelle and Mike and Alyssa and the rest of their family. But we lift to you the nations of the world who are in so much turmoil in so many ways. Your word says that you rule the nations, but we look out on a world that is in what looks like chaos. And it's hard to understand how this is still somehow the outworking of your will. But our ways are not your ways. Your ways are higher and your thoughts are higher. We just pray that somehow in all that is going on in the world and in our own nation, you will be moving the world forward to accomplish your ultimate goal of sending your Son again in glory and power, revealed to the nations as the Lord and Savior of the world. May our lives not lose sight of that glorious goal. May we continue to pray for and live for that day when Christ returns and we behold a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells and there is no sin, there is no evil, there is no wickedness, no crime or violence, and where death itself is gone. We pray you'll strengthen us for the ministries that lie ahead, for Bible school, for the opportunity to reach into the community and share the good news of Jesus Christ with children, for the selection of a search committee that will begin the process of looking for a new settled pastor. For all the things, Lord, that you would want us to do, we pray you'll show them to this church, this congregation, and give us boldness, clarity, courage, and the confidence to move forward, knowing that we follow a Lord who has risen from the dead and is seated in glory on a throne of power to rule over all things for the church, which is your body. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I invite you to continue worship now with the giving of tithes and offerings, and invite those who are in the choir for a day to come forward.
Peace.
Please rise for the doxology.
Giver on each gift, that in our lives, in our service, in our generosity, Jesus Christ will be revealed for your glory and praise. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnals to number 347, and Can It Be?
Please be seated. Do we have anyone who would like to come up? Okay, thank you. All right. Yeah. You'll turn to Isaiah 42, be reading verses 1 through 9, page 1124 in the Pew Bible. Passage describes one who is called the servant of the Lord. God says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope." This is what God the Lord says, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand, I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you." The word of God for the people of God. Will you pray with me? Lord, by your living spirit present here, may you open my mouth and open our hearts to receive your word, that it might grow in our hearts and bear fruit for your glory, to enable us to know and live by its truth, that our lives might be more and more conformed to the image of our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. When a military operation leaves non-combatants dead, those civilian casualties are called collateral damage. But when thousands of home foreclosures occur because of the greedy predatory lenders and people who want more than they can really afford, those foreclosures become another kind of collateral damage. So in many settings, this human collateral damage is one kind or another. It's just written off as the price of success or progress. It is not like that with God. God has a servant, an anointed servant, who cares for the weakest among us, for the least, for those who fall through the cracks, for those who are shoved to the margins of life. And in Isaiah 42, God calls him my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen. In the church, we call him Jesus. In Isaiah, God described this servant as a chosen leader who pleases God by his obedience. This spirit-filled servant will bring forth justice in the land. He possesses great power and authority. He has grand goals and a vast, far-reaching kingdom. And yet, despite his obvious greatness and grandeur, verse 3, a bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. How wonderful are those words. How hopeful. Like literal bruises, many life bruises are more superficial than serious. Maybe today an event gets rained out somewhere. Well, we'll do it next week or next month. Our favorite team loses. another game. Well, maybe next year, maybe. But these disappointments bruise us, but we get over them and we go on. But sometimes life bruises us deeply and painfully and relentlessly. Sometimes, even though I want to let it shine, life threatens to blow out this little light of mine. Sometimes a person we know, sometimes the person we are, feels like a bruised reed, a smoldering wick. And people like that are not hard to identify. Bruised reed. You try so hard to do the right thing and then it blows up in your face. You try to reconcile with a friend but get a cold shoulder. You tell the truth and it costs your job. You fell into that same destructive sin again, the one you just cannot overcome. You're dragging around a chain of broken relationships. Maybe you can't get into the popular groups at school. They call you names. They keep you out. Or your job beats you down. Your boss takes advantage of you. You're alone in every crowd, feeling isolated and friendless. Or you suffer from chronic pain. Kind of just never lets you go. It releases your hip only to grab your shoulder and then your neck. You always hurt somewhere. Or maybe grief weighs down your spirit like a stone you cannot lift. Sorrow fills your very soul. These are bruised reed people. And smoldering wicks, you're hanging on by a thread. You just can't go on like this. Your energy for life is draining away. Too many things you touch go wrong somehow. You can't get through to that rebellious child. You can't win back that spouse who is withdrawn from you. Maybe your best efforts go unnoticed or unappreciated, taken for granted. Life crushes your hopes. Your great expectations come to naught. The next breeze might be your undoing because you are like a wick burning dimly at best. In church, much of the secular world has no time or patience for bruised reeds and dimly burning wicks. These unfortunate folk are just the collateral damage in the march toward progress and prosperity, toward so-called security and success. The bruised reed, the dimly burning wick. That's poor Lazarus, starving at the door of the well-fed and the well-bred. It's the African mother who will lose her child to a preventable disease today. It's that sucker-punched American worker whose job just got shipped overseas. It's the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of refugees driven from their homes by war and oppression. It's the woman who plans to kill herself tonight. They are bruised reeds whose bruising has crippled them. Smoldering wicks whose light is about to go out. What hope do they have? What hope? But wait. A man comes to John at the Jordan River and wants to be baptized. And John protests, "No, I should be baptized by you." But Jesus insisted, and so John consented, because Jesus had come to fill all of God's righteousness. That is, to do right everything that we had done wrong, so that then we could receive the righteousness of Christ by our faith in Him. At His baptism, Jesus took the identity at his birth, Jesus took the identity of a human being. But at his baptism, Jesus, in a remarkable act of humility, if not humiliation, Jesus took the identity of a human being in their sin. He stood in the line of sinners, and he asked to get the baptism of a sinner because he had come to take the sinner's place under the judgment of God. God would punish our sins in Christ so that God could then give us the righteousness of Christ in place of our sin. God sent Christ to bring us to God, the righteous for the unrighteous, the sinless for the sinful, the strong for the weak. And so a bruised reed He will not break, and a smoldering wick He will not snuff out. The servant God foretold in Isaiah is clearly Jesus. For God said of the servant, "I have put my spirit upon him, And the Spirit of God descended, as you heard in the reading, descended and remained on Jesus at his baptism. And Bible commentators have long agreed that God's word from heaven at Jesus' baptism combines two Old Testament references to the Messiah. First, to show that the Messiah is God's beloved Son, they point to Psalm 2:7, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you." And that the Messiah is God's servant as well, they refer to Isaiah 42, verse 1, "My chosen one in whom my soul delights," or "with whom I am well pleased." And your own Bibles are probably going to have both those Old Testament verses listed as cross-references in the margin at the story of the baptism of Jesus. In Isaiah 42, God paints this welcome picture of his servant who will tenderly care for the bruised and dimly burning. They will not become collateral damage while this mighty, Spirit-empowered servant marches through the world to establish justice. The bruised and dimly burning will be cared for. Blind eyes and prison doors will be opened. Justice will come with abundant mercy. Jesus Christ is this Spirit-anointed servant. He said so himself in his sermon in Luke 4 at Nazareth, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus could just as easily add, "God has sent me to care for the bruised and dimly burning, to heal the bent over woman suffering for 12 years, the man at the pool of Bethsaida, the woman at the well, the man born blind," the list goes on and on. Here in Jesus Christ is hope and comfort for every bruised reed of a man, every smoldering wick of a woman. Jesus will not break you off. He will not snuff you out. You are too precious in his sight. You are why he came. You're not too offensive, too much bother, too sinful, too inconsistent, too weak, too big a failure, too stupid, too anything for Jesus. Jesus loves you too much to ever, ever, ever let you go. Once he received your baptism, then he died your death, and now he cares for you in your pain. He gives tender, passionate care to anyone who is bruised and dimly burning. God said of Jesus, "He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth." But Jesus did not grow faint in the face of the cross. He was not crushed even by death. The risen Jesus now sits on a throne of glory and power at the right hand of God. All authority has been given to him. And he rules over all things in heaven and earth for the sake of his body, which is you, the church, whom he loves. Even if we must wait till God creates a new heaven and a new earth, Jesus Christ will one day establish a justice that is perfect and permanent. And every bruised reed will find themselves recovered. Every burning wick, now dim, will be ablaze with glory. Such is the promise of God. Hallelujah. And so for now in this painful life, if you are bruised or dimly burning, turn to Jesus for comfort and strength. Turn to him who has experienced your suffering and knows your pain. Jesus knows what it is to be bruised and dimly burning himself. To turn to him, to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the servant of God. He will give you the tenderest of care and keeping now and always. In him, we who are bruised and dimly burning have a comfort and a hope. Our painful bruises will heal. Our flickering light will burn brightly once again. Jesus is faithful, and he will do it. Abide with me is our closing hymn. I want to go out on a limb with you. It's an the first verse is an evening song, but that's not the limb. We have the opportunity for you to meet with deacons in the prayer room following the worship. But just felt throughout the week preparing for this, I invite you to come to Jesus for the healing that you need. If you're feeling like you are the bruised reed, you are the smoldering wick, I just want to give you a chance to do that now. So as we sing the final hymn, if you want to come forward and just let me pray for you. You don't have to tell me what you're bruised and smoldering about, but just let me pray for you. And I would like to ask a couple deacons to come forward too, and just to lay hands on whoever might come forward as I pray. So as we stand together and sing this final hymn, if you want prayer, because you're the one who is bruised and dimly burning today, just come forward. You stand.
Strengthen you wherever you are bruised. you do life wherever you are gently burned, so that your life may be a strong and bright beacon of hope and comfort.